Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the place where Rick Warren brings you uplifting messages from God's Word every day to help you grow deeper in faith and live a life with purpose. Today we're continuing in a powerful series called Toolbox for Life. In this series, Rick teaches us four essential skills that you need to succeed wherever God has placed you. Whether it's at home, at work, at school, or in your community, these are tools that every follower of Jesus absolutely needs. Okay, and let's get right to Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Maximizing Your Strengths.
Our series theme is the verse out of the Bible, Ecclesiastes 10:10. It's one of my life verses. It's here on the screen. The Bible says, if the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. In other words, you got a dull axe, it takes more energy to cut the wood. He's saying, work smarter, not harder. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. It's not enough just to want to be successful in your life, in your marriage, in your career, in your schooling. Desire is not enough. Determination is not enough. Dedication is not enough. Prayer is not enough. The Bible says skill will bring success. And until you learn those skills, you cannot succeed in life. And the more skillful you become, the more successful you'll be. Now, part of my job as your pastor is to coach you in life skills. That's one of the things that I do, is to help you learn the skills of life to make you more successful, because I want you to succeed in every area of your life. Now, this week, I want us to look at the third skill, which is how to maximize your strengths. You, as time goes on in your life, need to do less of what you're not good at and need to do more of what you are good at, what God wired you to do, what God shaped or formed or created or designed you to do. And we're going to look at that in detail today. Now, we've got an entire class on this called Class 301, Discovering My Shape. But this has to do with the fact that God made you unique. And the Bible says that God has uniquely wired you up for a purpose. He's designed you. He has shaped you for a purpose. The Bible says this, Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I shaped you in the womb, this is God talking. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, in other words, took your first breath as a baby, I already, he says, had holy plans for you. Now, I want you to circle the word shaped. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. And before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Did you know that God determined your life in advance and he shaped you in advance? And by the way, this is why abortion is wrong. It short circuits God's plan. God's plan for your life doesn't start the moment you take a breath. God's plans for your life started the moment he thought you up and decided to use the DNA of your parents to create you. And it short circuits God's plan. God's plan for your life didn't start the moment you were born. It started before you were born. And the Bible says, he said, I shaped you in your mother's womb. Now, your shape reveals your purpose in life. If you want to know what you're here on earth for, you got to look at your shape. In architecture, we have a phrase that says, a form follows function. You may have heard this term. And if you go and you want a building built and you tell an architect, I want to build a building, he will say first, or she will say, tell me what you want to do with it. What's the function? And then form follows function. For instance, the building here at Lake Forest we're in right now, was the function of it is to hold a large crowd. And so it was shaped, it was formed to fulfill a function. In architecture, form follows function. But with human beings, it's the exact opposite. Function follows form. In other words, if you want to know what your function is in life, what you're supposed to do with your life, you got to look intently and deeply at how God wired you. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Your shape reveals your purpose. I mean, anybody here have gills? No. So you weren't made to swim underwater without a scuba tank. Anybody here got wings? No. And that's why it takes a machine to help you fly. You weren't shaped for those things. Now, the Bible says very repeatedly that God planned every day of your life even before you were born. You are not an accident. Your parents may not have planned you. I've told you this many times, but God did. And it doesn't matter whether they were good, bad, or indifferent parents, or you never even knew your parents. God knew that they had just the exact DNA, 23,000 chromosomes each, that would create you, and God was more interested in making you than he was in their parenting skills. And God wanted you alive, and nobody else could have made you, you. So he used even flawed, imperfect people to make you. Now, the next verse, Psalm 139, I want you, as I read this aloud, to circle all of the verbs, okay? Let me read it to you. Here it's on the screen. You, Lord, made my whole being. Circle the word made. You formed me, circle formed, in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me, there's another made, in an amazing and a wonderful way. You saw, he saw, there's a verb. You saw my bones being formed, there's another verb. As I took shape, there's another, in my mother's body. When I was put together, circle put together, when I was put together there in your mother's womb, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. Now I want you to write underneath that verse, God was intimately involved in my birth. He made you, he formed you, he shaped you, he planned you, he saw you. This is not something where God just said, oh, another baby's been born. No, God was intimately involved in your personal birth. He saw you, he made you, he planned you, he created you, he formed you, he shaped you. God was intimately involved. Now, notice in that verse, he says, I planned every day of your life. We don't get to choose the day of our birth, and we don't get to choose the day of our death. It's God's timing. Today, there are many people trying to choose the day of their own death. That's called playing God. We don't get to choose when we're born, and we don't get to choose when we die. And when we do, we're trying to play God. God is God, and you're not. Now, nearly 30 years ago, those of you who've been around for any length of time at Saddleback know, I came up with a little acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, five things that describe how God shaped you, why you are you, what makes you you. And to kick us off in today's message, Pastor Tommy, who is our 301 ministry pastor, who teaches a class now, Shaped for Significance, is going to come and talk about shape. So let's give Tommy a warm welcome.
So how has God shaped you? The S stands for spiritual gifts. It stands for spiritual gifts. The moment you became a believer, God gave you some spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities that God gives each of us through the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. At the moment that Jesus comes into our hearts, the Holy Spirit enters in, we receive different kind of talents and special abilities and multiple spiritual gifts in the moment that we become a believer. Look at what 1 Corinthians 7:7 says. Each one has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now, these spiritual gifts that are given by God are not for your benefit, but they're for the benefit of others. These gifts are to be used to minister to the body of Christ. They're to be used to build up to the church, to advance the kingdom of God. And we're given these gifts so that we can be a blessing to other people, that our lives and how God has made us could help other people. And it's to show God's workmanship and his handiwork and his power in our lives. Now, some of you have spiritual gifts, but you don't even know you have them. And one of the reasons you don't know that you have them is because you've never actually taken a look at them. You've never unwrapped the package that God has given to you. Imagine receiving a beautifully wrapped gift, and then you receive that gift, but you just put it on a shelf and you just stare at it. Imagine how the gift giver would feel knowing that you've taken this gift that they've given and you haven't done anything with it. Well, God has given you these amazing spiritual gifts inside of you, and he wants you to unwrap those. You say, well, Tommy, that's great, but how do I unwrap them? Well, the easiest way and the most beneficial way to unwrap them is to start serving in ministry. You discover your gifts and what God has put inside of you by getting out and serving and trying different ministries. And you'll try a ministry and it might work for you. And it's like, oh, I think this may be me. I'm not sure. Some may not work for you. But the ones that you're most fruitful at, the ones where others encourage you and say, man, this really looks like who you are. You're doing a great job. That is where your spiritual gift is at. It's easier to discover your gift through ministry than it is to discover your gift or ministry through your gift. And so God wants you to be able to use those gifts for him. Now, I want to be honest with you. There's some of you here that actually don't have any spiritual gifts. And the reason you don't have any spiritual gifts is because you've never asked Jesus into your life. You've never stepped across the line. You never tried to establish a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. But the moment that you do that, the moment that you ask Jesus into your heart, he changes everything about you, but he also gives you gifts, these spiritual gifts. Now, every believer has at least one gift that they receive. I've never met a believer who only has one. Most every believer I've ever met always has multiple gifts. So the H stands for heart. It stands for heart. This is your motivations, your interests. This is your passions, the core of who you are deep down inside. This is what gets you up in the morning. This is what keeps you up late at night thinking about it. This is what turns your crank, the things that you love. And we've got all different kinds of passions, all different kinds of loves in our lives, and they're all for different reasons. Some of you absolutely love football. Like, this is your season. This is your time. You love football. You're all up in everything the NFL's doing. Some of you love sports. Some of you love. I mean, just love running. You could run for miles. I don't understand this at all. Tommy, don't run. I just don't. I don't get it. If we have to evacuate the building, I'm gonna die and go to heaven. I'm gonna get out. Maybe, but I'm gonna be the last one to get out. There's nothing wrong with that, though. You got different passions. Some of you love cooking. Some of you love painting. Some of you love to do business and shop and fix things and repair things. Some of you love video games. Some of you love numbers. I don't understand that one either. You got different passions and different things that you love. They make up who you are, and they're all wonderful. Have you ever noticed that there's some things that really interest you? I mean, you're really into it, and then there's other things that just bore you to tears. And 30 minutes feels like 30 years. And you're like, are we ever gonna get out of work? This is terrible. Have you ever noticed there's some things that really excite you and other things you could just care less about? Well, where did that come from? It came from the fact that God put inside of you an innate desire, an innate passion for certain things, things that interest you. And God put those passions in your heart for you to enjoy them and for his benefit. Why did he do this? Because he wants you to be you. Only you can be you, and he wants you to be you, and my heart is the real me inside. Now, you may not have known this, but every single one of us have a unique heartbeat. Just like you have a unique thumbprint or fingerprints, a unique eye print, you have a unique heartbeat, a unique emotional heartbeat that God put inside of you. And that person inside of you, that in who you are, God wants that to come out because that's the real you, those real passions. And he doesn't want you to be ashamed of those real passions you have. The person you're sitting next to more than likely doesn't necessarily have the same passions that you do. And that's totally okay. Look at what Proverbs 4:23 says. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We need to guard our heart for many reasons. But let me give you one of the reasons why we need to guard our heart. Because there are people in this world that will look at your passions and look at your dreams and they'll want to dismiss them. They'll want to belittle them. They'll want to deny them. They might even try to destroy them. And God doesn't want that for you. God wants the real you to be able to stand up and to step up in ministry and to serve him. Satan wants to destroy your passions. Satan wants to whisper things in your ears of like, oh, why should you care about that? That doesn't matter. He wants to destroy and he wants to distract you from them. So the Bible says you have to guard your heart. Now, if we all had the same heart, if we all had the same passions and desires, there's a lot of things that wouldn't get done in the world, right? I mean, so thank God that we all have different things that we love, different things that get us going. I mean, thank God people love repairing things, repairing cars, and people love teaching kids. Those are all different things that God can use for his glory and his kingdom. Now, the A stands for abilities. It stands for abilities. And those are the natural abilities. These are the natural abilities that you were given the moment you were born. And everybody gets some natural abilities. Look at what Romans 12:6 tells us. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. I want you to underline certain things well in this verse. God doesn't say, I gave you the ability to do everything well. He said, I've given you the ability to do certain things well. There's a book called The 21 Outrageous Lies We Tell Our Kids. Now, in this book, it talks about all these different lies that we tell them. For example, this is a lie that we tell our kids. Just tell me the truth. I promise you won't get in trouble. Right? Like, I mean, I've been so careful. I have to tell my kids. I tell my kids that. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, no matter what comes out of their mouth, they're not going to get in trouble. I just want to know the truth. But that's a lie we tell them. Here's another lie we tell our kids. We tell our kids, you can be anything that you want to be in this world. It's true. We tell our kids that. Now, here's the problem, though. We kind of perpetuate that lie out in their lives, and they think they can be anything. Case in point, how many of you have ever seen American Idol? Somebody has lied to those people. They've not. Every time I watch the show, I'm like, where are their friends? Where are the people that love them to tell them that, like, they can't sing? They don't know they can sing. We also perpetuate the lie inside of ourselves that we think we can do anything. I mean, there was for a long time there, I wanted to be an NBA basketball player. The problem is I got a 2-inch vertical leap. That's it. And I don't like to run. So I got a problem. That's not going to work for me because it's not who God made me to be. So instead of telling your kids, or even instead of telling yourself you can be anything that you want to be, tell yourself the truth of what God says. And here's what God says. He says, you can be anything, absolutely anything that I created you to be. That's what I tell my kids. I say, you can be anything, absolutely anything that God created you to be. Say this out loud with me. Say, I can be anything. Absolutely anything that God created me to be. That's the truth. And it doesn't matter about age. David was a teenager when he took on the giant and killed him. Joshua said, you know what? I'm going to take that mountain, the final stronghold in the promised land, in his 80s. And he did it. He was fighting to the front of the line as an elderly man saying, we're going to the mountain, we're going to take it. When God is in it and God has created you to be who he's made you to be and you embrace it, you can do anything. So sometimes the greatest thing, the greatest discovery you can make is finding out what you can't do in order for you to concentrate on what you can do. Because all of us are different. Some of you are really good with numbers. Man, you breeze through math. I mean, you can do everything, geometry, calculus. You're just good with it. Others, when you think of numbers, you're like, yuck, not me. I'm not doing it. Some of you are really good with words. Some of you are really good with people. Some of you are not really good with people. Some of you are really good with animals. Some of you might have a natural athletic ability. And some of you might be really uncoordinated. You hurt yourself and you hurt other people when you're out there. It's not good. Some of you might be an artist and you love to create. Or you might be mechanical abilities, or you can create software. And I love that. I am all these people. I feel like I had a mechanical bypass as a child when I was born. My brain just doesn't work that way. But some of you do amazing as architects. Some of you are teachers and hairstylists and makeup design artists and video production. You're born with leadership skills and leadership abilities. Some of you have music abilities. You're able to take an instrument and in just a very short amount of time learn how to play it and develop that skill. Some of you, God gave this incredible ability to sing, and you have a beautiful voice. Fact is that all these different kinds of abilities God wants to use for his glory and his kingdom, and he will, to build up his church and to further the work here on this planet. Now, P stands for personality. We have spiritual gifts, we have heart, we have abilities, and then P is the fact that God has given us all a unique personality. And some of you have more unique personalities than others. Don't elbow anybody. Now, psychologists tell us that there are 16 unique personality types. But within those 16 unique personality types, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of variations based on environment, based on passions and education, based on the experiences that you have. The fact is, God loves variety, and probably none of us can really figure out anyways our personalities because they all were a combination. We're a blend of all these things, our family of origin, that make up you. And when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it's difficult to categorize it because God is constantly redeeming every aspect of who you are. He's redeeming your personality. He's redeeming those experiences, the things in your life that you've struggled with. He's redeeming all these things. So let's take a quick personality quiz just for fun. So for you, some of you, when it comes to, say, swimming, for example, some of you like to just cannonball in. You're plungers. You jump in. And some of you just like to wade into the pool. You just want to stick your baby toe in the pool just to see how this thing is, okay? So how many of you say you jump into the pool head first, you don't even think about it, you're diving in, okay? How many of you say, no, I like to wade into the pool. I like to check it out. I can stick my toe in there, okay? All right. What about playing games? How many of you say, you know what? I'm a high risk person. I like to play for stakes. It doesn't matter who's in the room. I mean, I could love them, baby, but if we're playing a game, they're going down. That's just who they are. How many of you say that's you? Right? Okay. You're highly competitive in there. How many of you would say, no, if we're playing a game, it's good. You know, I'll play for pennies. I'm okay with that. It's just about having fun. Okay. All right. That's good. Now, how many of you, when it comes to organization, would say, I love to be organized? How many would you say that? How many of you would say, organization just really cramps my style a little bit? How many would say, it's just not me. The pile is organized and that's good enough for me, right? It's there, I know where it's at, I can find it. I don't need a system, that's you, okay, good. Now, how many of you say, I absolutely love routine. I love routine, it's just, I love to organization, I love to plan everything out, I plan my vacations out, I can tell you what we do every moment. Okay, raise your hands, let me see them, raise your hands, be proud. You're kind of a little, be proud, raise your hand. Okay, how many of you say, no, man, I just like to live by the seat of my pants, I'm good. Okay, all right. Now, how many of you, when it comes to decisions, say, I like to think things through. I don't like to make rash decisions, I like to think things through. Raise your hands. How many of you say, I live by my gut and my feelings? Raise your hands. Okay. All right. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hands. Yeah, you're morning because you're, woohoo, it's morning already. Yeah, I'm excited. It's morning already. How many of you are night people? You're night owls. God bless you for making it here today. Okay. We're glad that you're here. All right. How many of you married the opposite person? Yeah. Just shows God has got a sense of humor, doesn't he? I mean, really. Now, how many of you would say, I'm not good in the morning and I'm not good at night, but I am fantastic at lunch? How many of you out there? That's me. That's me. I don't even know if God exists before 6 a.m. I'm told that he does, but I'm not sure because I've never experienced it before. Now, how many of you would say, I am an outgoing, extroverted kind of person? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you say, nope, I'm more shy and more introverted? You raise your hands now. And the true introverts actually didn't raise their hands in that moment. But for those of you, you know, we know you're there. We love you. The point is this, that God uses different personalities to work in the world and to do all kinds of things. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, God works through different people in different ways. And the fact is, God can use introverts just as much as he uses extroverts, and he does. God can use super organized people just as much as he uses people who are disorganized, and he does. God can use people that love routines and people that love just to be adventurous and fly by the seat of their pants, and he does. God uses all of these things that he has made you to be for his glory and his kingdom. When you surrender and place them in God's hands, and accept who God's made you to be. Pastor Rick's gonna come up and talk about the E now.
You know, when Tommy was talking about how God puts opposites together, I was thinking about, you know, when you, before you get married, opposites attract, and then after you get married, opposites attack. Because all what interested you in your spouse was they were different from you. Oh, that's so cute the way she does that. Oh, that's so, I really like the way he does that. 6 months into the marriage, you go, excuse me, could you be a little bit more like me, you know? And what started off as interesting is now an irritation. Now, for those of you who are unmarried and you would like to be married, I want to just tell you a little secret. You cannot change a person's personality. You can change their character. Their character can change, but you can't change their personality. You know, I've done thousands of weddings, and there's an order to the wedding, and, you know, the bride walks down the aisle, and then she stands at the altar, and then they do the hymn, and many brides after the wedding think that's the same process, aisle, altar, hymn. It ain't gonna happen, all right? You don't think, you know, I have a project here and it's you. character can change. Your fundamental personality will not change over your lifetime, and you just need to understand it. So the five things that make you you, S, spiritual gifts, what am I gifted to do? Heart, what do I love to do? Abilities, what am I naturally good at? Personality, who do I like to do it with and how do I like to do it? Routine, variety, together in a group, by myself. And then the E in shape that shapes your life for your purpose is experiences. And of course, God uses all kinds of experiences in your life. Now, the first experiences he uses to shape you are your family experiences, good ones and bad ones. God can use them both for good in your life, even the bad ones, if you'll give him all of the pieces. And he'll use family experiences to shape you. He will use educational experiences to shape you in school. And I'm talking about both good and bad. If I were to ask you to raise your hand and I were to say, how many of you were hurt in school? Every single hand would go up. Everybody has been hurt in school by something somebody said to you or something somebody did to you or a comment a teacher made. It's just part of life. You're going to be hurt in life. God can even use that to shape you. Spiritual gifts and heart, ability, personality, and experiences. Vocational experiences, your job. Spiritual experiences, church, retreat, Bible studies, a quiet time with the Lord. But the number one kind of experience that God uses to shape you for your purpose in life, hate to tell you this, painful experiences. More than anything else in life, God uses painful experiences in your life to get your attention and to shape you. God whispers to us in pleasure. He shouts to us in pain. Pain is God's megaphone. I can't tell you how many people I've heard were going this direction until all of a sudden they got in pain, and now they're going a different direction. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. And so God even uses pain for good in your life. He doesn't have to cause it. There's plenty of pain in the world, but he can bring it for good. Let me show you a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 11, verse 2 says, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences. Circle the word experience. Experiences with him. God wants you to learn from your experiences, not to be bitter, but to be better. And Romans 8, 28 says, all, circle the word all that happens, that means the good and the bad, every part of it, all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God. Now, this is a conditional promise. Everything is not good in the world. We know, it doesn't even say that. Not everything is good. Cancer is not good. Rape is not good. Terrorism is not good. Evil is not good. Suicide is not good. There are a lot of bad things in the world that are not good. And the Bible doesn't say it's all good. It says all things that happen to us are working for our good, not for everybody. Everything is not working for good in the life of everybody. It's only working for good in the life of those who love God and give him all the pieces. Say, God, can you bring good out of bad? Can you turn a crucifixion into a resurrection? Can you turn darkness into light? Can you bring turn evil into good? Can you do something with the mess in my life? Even my bad decisions, God says, yes, I can do that. Now, it says the key is it's working together. It's got to be mixed in. I could go to my kitchen this afternoon and pull out a can of Crisco and start eating it. It wouldn't taste good. I could crack a couple of raw eggs and eat them. That wouldn't taste good. I could take a thing of salt, start pouring it down. It would be very bitter. I could take some flour and I could eat the raw flour, and it would be very dry. I could even take some vanilla and drink it, pure vanilla, and it would be bitter. But I can put that in the mix, and it becomes a cake. I'm hungry. Okay, that's all the sermon you need. Let's go out to lunch. Okay, all right, now here we go. And the fact is, the point is there are individual events in your life that are bitter to your taste. You know what I'm talking about. But in the mix, God can make a cake. Does that make sense? God can bring good out of bad. And it's even some of the most tasty stuff is when you put sweet and bitter together. And salty and sweet and, vinegar with this. And you go, wait a minute. How is that? It's in the mix. All things are working together. if we love God in our experiences. Now, this is your shape. What I want to spend the rest of our time on is how do you maximize your shape? And you got to do four things. Write these down. The first thing I have to do to maximize my strengths to become what God made me to be. The first thing is, obviously, discover it. I've got to discover my shape. You can't use a gift that you haven't discovered. You can't use a personality you don't understand. You can't grow on your experiences if you haven't discovered them. So until you start discovering your shape, you're going to live what I call a 4F life. Frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. Frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. If you have in your life a sense of frustration or fear or fatigue or failure, it means you are not operating in your shape. You're not in the J zone, the joy zone. You're not being what God made you to be. You may be in a job that's totally ignoring the way God shaped you, and you've got frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. It's like fitting a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit.
Such a great message from Pastor Rick today, and I hope you were just as encouraged as I was. You know, the truth is, desire and determination alone aren't enough to succeed in life. So many people already work so hard, but real success isn't just about working harder, it's about working smarter. It's about working God's way. Did you know that the Bible is packed with practical instruction to help you do just that? Yeah, that's why Pastor Rick Warren created the Toolbox for Life Bible Study. Through this powerful study, you'll discover and develop four essential real-life success-building skills straight from God's Word. These are skills that will equip you to make a difference as you lead with confidence and clarity in your home, at work, at school, and in your community. The Toolbox for Life Bible Study has four video sessions taught by Rick and includes a companion workbook. It's perfect for personal growth or small group study. So be sure to request your copy of the Toolbox for Life study kit today when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the Word of God to a world in need. It's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.